Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our roundtable panel for this Wednesday, the 9th of December. Very nice to have you with us, as it always is. We welcome you. You welcome us into our home. We welcome you into our home. And it all works out in the end, doesn't it?
Indeed.
Yes, I think so.
Absolutely.
Now, well, one way to get into our home even more is to write to us, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, and we'll check in with some letters a little bit. But first, we're going to have some conversation with our panelists. Let me introduce them to you right now. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan. How are you, sir?
I'm hard at work already.
I see that. I see that. And I
appreciate it.
And if you need any extra time, let me know. Political consultant Libby Post joins us, as she does each and every Wednesday. We couldn't be more delighted. How are you?
I'm fine.
Our dear friend, journalism professor at the University of Albany and investigative reporter, Rosemary Armeo is here as well. Good morning. So we talked about this at length yesterday. We'll talk about it some more today because obviously when you pull the pin from such a hand grenade, the repercussions go on for a long time. And that's certainly the case with Donald Trump's statement that we should block all Muslims from entering the United States of America. Repudiated across much of the political spectrum, but defended on conservative talk radio, Donald Trump on Tuesday stood by his call. He cast it as a temporary move in response to terrorism and invoked President Franklin Roosevelt's authorization of the detention of Japanese, German, and Italian immigrants during World War II as a precedent. Critics, including both the House Speaker, Paul Ryan, a Republican, and the Senate Minority Leader, Harry Reid, a Democrat, assailed Mr. Trump's proposal as self-defeating and un-American.
Okay, so I think I said it yesterday. I just want to check in one more time, if I can, and say everybody has different motives for what they do. Obviously, he's the leading Republican. If the Democrats can tie to this guy, Republicans are against Muslims and un-American. It's a winning position to be in. For the people who are competing with Trump, it's also self-serving to some degree, right? Because they've been looking for some way to clobber him, and this looks like a golden opportunity to clobber their Republican rivals for coming up in the look. They haven't been able to touch him up until now, and now it looks like they can. Well, they, you know, there's people who are competing with him at the top, but in the end, he knows. He knows he's ahead, and every time he attacks. So this may have gone over the line, but maybe not, because I think there are a lot of people out there who are just afraid. They're scared, mm-hmm. and this is the way this kind of stuff, we've talked about Hitler doing it, others doing it. You start to scapegoat a particular group. And that's where I'm sitting.
You heard from some interesting listeners during Vox Pop yesterday, Alan, who were saying, don't talk to me about fear. This is anger. We're angry and we want to do something. He's the only one calling on us to do something.
Sure.
That was kind of, we're smart. We're not doing this out of stupidity or fear.
Well, fear and anger right. are kissing cousins.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. And that all leads to hate.
I'm enjoying the silence by Hillary especially, but all the Democrats, because I think they're following the old maxim that if your opponent is beating himself up, don't interfere, don't break up the fight.
Well, Hillary has checked in.
Well, she has.
She has for a long time about the idea of it. But
she checked
not.
In on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
She said it was reprehensible.
Yeah.
What
well,
he said was sure. absolutely reprehensible.
Which it is.
Reprehensible.
Thank you very much. But, you know, the line keeps moving. That's the thing, you know, he said he crosses over the line, but the line, he keeps moving that line and nobody seems to, you know, push back enough. I think the Republicans are in this quandary, just like they're in this quandary with the Tea Party people, where they can't come out too much against him because he's got such a big following. But they all know, all the leadership knows, if he's the nominee, he's going to lose. They'll lose the election.
But they
could lose both houses on this as well.
But, you know, the key question to all the Republican candidates has been, okay, what he's done is reprehensible. Will you vote for him? If he runs, and the answer from I think everybody is I support the Republican candidate,
yeah, right.
No matter what.
Right.
Well,
right.
Donald Trump may not support the Republican candidate. He's been throwing out
more
than hints. He's been throwing out open threats that do what I want, or I'll be running for myself and take my followers with me.
Well, to Alan's point, I mean, Paul Ryan said yesterday that he would certainly.
So did John
McCain. That he would support whatever. But there was also earlier in his speech basically saying, but I doubt it'll get to that.
That's gone now.
I don't know if I have that doubt. And then I also want to talk, and this is something that Rosemary brought up yesterday that we touched on, but this obviously has had repercussions around the world. This made international news. Obviously, with good reason. His remarks ignited widespread condemnation that crossed ideological and social lines in many countries. In Britain, Prime Minister David Cameron of the Conservative Party dismissed Mr. Trump's position as divisive, unhelpful, and quite simply wrong. The Prime Minister of France, Manuel Valls, which is still reeling from deadly attacks by Islamic extremists, wrote on Twitter, "Mr. Trump, like others, fuels hatred, and our only enemy is radical Islamism."
But before you continue, let me tell you about France. They just voted overwhelming numbers for Madame Le Pen.
That's right.
And basically, very close to, well, at least the antecedents are, very close to fascism.
Mm-hmm.
And they voted for her.
And so is Trump very close to fascism.
I think so.
Let's be honest about that. So, you know, yes, in France, and it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out there. But some of these other countries, I don't think the extreme right are going to take over, in England or in Portugal or some of the other European countries. But, you know, this is the Daily News had it right again yesterday. You know,
their headlines
mm-hmm. was a takeoff of Reverend Niemöller's quote during, World War II.
Yeah.
You know, they came for me and there was nobody left. And when Trump came for the Mexicans, I didn't speak out as I was not a Mexican. When he came for the Muslims, I did not speak out as I was not a Muslim. Then he came for me, .. And it's a picture of Trump, sure. an editorial cartoon of Trump yielding one of those sieves,
that size.
Looks like an Arab size. Type, from the old
crescent.
Movies,
like,
sword, and the head of the Statue of Liberty,
Jeez.
Because the Statue of Liberty says, bring me your huddled masses.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the polling data. I'll tell you right now. I want to see what happened here.
Yeah, we don't know that yet, do we?
No, and the polls, unfortunately, the polls that are coming out today, even
they're
in New Hampshire, the day before.
Right. Yeah, lasting damage, though, we know has been done, I think, to the Republican Party, which has been shifting, the right. But now it's become even more, I think, radically conservative, although Paul Ryan says this isn't conservatism, but it is.
Oh, well,
it is
it's
the
neocon.
Face of it. Yeah.
I mean, I think, the damage has been done to our credibility internationally, just the fact that we let this joker get as far as he's gotten.
Well, let me put it this way, Libby. I don't think that we have that choice. You know, people say,
we live in a democracy.
We live in a kind of democracy. We live in a democracy.
Democracy-ish.
Where 15% of the Republican Party,
sort of, kind of.
Who are self-motivated to vote and who are from the extraordinary right, have got everybody worried. All these candidates are worried and need them mm-hmm. desperately in order to win.
Well, we have not seen, Alan, information, mm-hmm. polling or otherwise, on what this whole bizarre campaign has done to Republicans who don't normally vote. Are we going to see
sure.
a bigger than usual turnout? Will mm-hmm. real Republicans take back the party? We don't know that yet.
Are these the people, the Republicans who don't vote, or are these the ones that are coming out to his rallies?
Well, let me put it this way. I heard from people yesterday who said basically that they hadn't voted in the past.
But they're going to vote now. They are.
And then also you hear, and again, this is all anecdotal, and we have to keep in mind, so far not a vote has been cast for this man or any
right.
of the other candidates.
That's right.
So, but of the people who have been going into the rallies, this is prior to his statement on Monday, but people who have been going to these rallies, 10, 20, 30,000 people, when many of them are polled, they are there for the spectacle. They are not there to actually support him. And many, quite frankly, say, I haven't made up my mind. The latest polls that are out say that they have not completely, even though they are leaning toward Trump, they have not made up their mind, and they are not sure he is the best for the country. His numbers when it comes to the firmness and the support are – his support is very shallow and soft on that. The new polls that have come out, especially this WBUR poll and Boston Globe, I believe, which – take that for what it's worth.
The country is still at a loss, though, because if nothing else, Trump now has the credibility and the podium to be a spokesman in politics for years ahead.
Podium, not, do you think he has credibility?
No.
Among however shallow and soft it is, a sizable portion of the electorate is listening to him.
We don't know how shallow it is. Look, this guy is clearly a bigot. And when you're dealing with bigotry, you don't tell your pollster. And I'm not so sure you don't tell him or her. And so we don't know how shallow this is, Rosemary. I would caution you and everybody else who's listening right now that this guy could win the presidency.
You've said that now for 2 days, Alan. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't see how that's possible.
I don't think so.
You know, Nate Silver.
You guys sitting around some kind of circle reassuring each other?
Nate Silver, who is, you know, pretty good as a predictor using statistics and polling,
right,
has said that the whole media is overstating his support. Basically, he has the support of the same crazy 30% who is opposed to everything and believes, you know, UFOs are commanding the world.
And wear aluminum hats.
Well, I'm glad you guys are reassuring each other that he cannot.
Asking for what's your evidence of this?
I'm telling you, when he first came on, I said, this guy's a turkey. He can't win. And then all of a sudden, he surprised an awful lot of people by doing extraordinarily well in the polls. I am not counting him out. And frankly, how shall I put this? Shame on both of you, because you don't know. I don't know, and you don't know. So we're relying on each other to say, well, he's a turkey, and therefore he can't win. Hey, turkeys have won before.
Is he going to win New York? Would he win New York State?
No.
No, but he might win upstate counties in New York State.
I guess what I'm asking is that the electoral map would change, wouldn't it? It would be hugely. Would he win California? Would he win?
No.
You know, I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers.
He won't win Florida because of his anti-immigrant stance. You know, he probably won't win Texas because
of California.
That. You know,
I reject your shaming of us, Alan, because I don't think he's not going to win because he's a turkey. He is a turkey, but I think he's not going to win because he simply doesn't have the numbers. We're looking at the numbers in the wrong way. This is a small percentage of a subset of voters. It's not anywhere near like a majority of the voters.
Okay, so I have to answer, please. Just let me give you 1 second to do that. If I look at what you've just said, I also look at certain polls which say, you know, you have a liberal arts degree, your chances of voting against the Trump are very high. But if you have a high school degree or up to a high school degree, your chances of voting for him are much higher. These are the people that Trump is after. And he can deal with, because a lot of kids don't watch the news ever or invest themselves in this kind of information. I'm sorry, Libby, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's just that what we see during any of the primaries when they beat each other up, you know, whoever ends up being the nominee ends up having to move to the center.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We see that every single time.
No question.
Okay? How is he going to walk anything that he has said back? With any credibility.
Do you remember?
No one's going to believe him.
Do you guys remember when Ronald Reagan could not get elected? It was outrageous. He was too far to the right. He couldn't get elected. And he got elected, and he leaves that office. He left that office as one of the most popular presidents in the history of the United States.
I think Trump is more in the, not in the Ronald Reagan.
I agree in retrospect. But I'm saying, take yourself back to the time when he was first announcing he was running. And people would try to make him into Goldwater. Exactly.
Think Goldwater. I think that's what Trump is.
But
what they were doing with Ronald Reagan.
But it was
also
a different time, and why he won was because of the Iranian hostages and the inability for Carter to get them released.
Well, or put another face
before
on
the election.
I'm a tough guy. I know how to deal with these people. Yeah. I'm a tough guy.
Yeah, well, that's
here's Trump saying, I'm a tough guy.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm going to blow everybody up. And, you know, our children are not going to have a world to live in. You know,
you
I get what you're
that.
Saying, Alan.
Oh, no,
yeah,
it's actually Cruz.
Yeah, but that's what's going to happen. I get what you're saying, you know, but I have to think that this country is, I know this country is right of center, but it's not far right of center. But we are a centrist country, and I can't imagine, first of all, I can't imagine him going being in this for the long haul, all right? He likes to make a lot of money. If he wins the presidency, he's going to have to stop
doing
all
Libby,
that.
Oh, come on, Libby. How much money do you need? Knife?
Yeah, but that's what...
You can be the president.
That's what defines who he is, okay? And I also think that the voters, the people who actually come out to vote, and yes, maybe there'll be more of the uneducated coming out to vote, you know, because they like him or whatever. You know, I don't think the voters will buy his brand of xenophobia and hatred. I just don't. I think that, you know, ultimately people believe in what this country is about, which
okay.
is democracy.
Let me say, from your lips to God's ear, great. I hope you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me also say, Alan Chartok this morning did not endorse Donald Trump
for
president.
No, I know. Nobody say you,
I'm saying number three. What I did say is we can't be naive enough to think that there is not a possibility this guy catches on and stays on by basically speaking to unhappy people. Look, we know, and Hillary Clinton and others, and Bernie Sanders, of course, have made the point that this is an unequal country where mm-hmm. some people at the very top make incredible amounts of money and the rest of the people do not.
Mm-hmm.
And what this does, of course, is to hook in, and it's ironic, to the people who do not make money,
right,
and say, take your frustrations with me, Donald Trump. I'll lead you. And to all of you, and I do say you, Libby, who think for a single second this guy is not a serious presidential candidate and doesn't want to be president of the United States, I say that's wishful thinking. That's not so. He wants to be president, and he's going to try to be president.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. We'll take your letters, and we'll also move on to other topics. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments. Again, it's very simple and easy to get a hold of us. It's roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. We're going to go get a BBC news break, and we will continue our conversation after news. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel and our discussion this morning. We'll get right back into our discussion about Donald Trump and the statements that he initiated on Monday and the shockwaves that have sort of been going on ever since. We have a lot of letters. We'll go to those now.
Okay. Dear panel, again, you've been Trumpized. Trump will not be the president, but he will be a successful author. I predict he'll write a book, 217, about all his antics and poke fun at our electoral system. We'll all run out and buy it, and he will laugh all the way to the bank. He doesn't need to
no,
go to the bank.
No, he doesn't need the money. And he's also written a billion books, and only the first one sold any copies.
Yeah. Okay. And here's one. They're too long. Write them short. You can. The beauty of being able to send these emails is you do it all in a couple of sentences.
140 characters.
I have heard many responses from politicians, pundits, and commentators calling Trump's latest bigoted attack reprehensible and un-American, but I've not heard a single reference to it being unconstitutional. Oh, yes. Lots of people have said it's unconstitutional.
Oh, absolutely.
You're wrong. You're just plain wrong. Okay. Thank you for that. And then let's go to somebody. It is very dangerous to think that Trump's supporters are only among the uneducated. I have spent the last month touring the country and many cities, talk with college students, business people, and those in the arts. I agree with Alan. Trump's support runs deep. Okay. And C writes to us. C. Eric. Don't dismiss all Trump supporters as tinfoil hat types. I have argued with friends who sincerely buy into the idea of changing the political status quo. They fear the perceived subterfuge of their white Christian idea of America. I disagree. Okay. And here's another one. And Cody says, does anybody remember the movie 12 Angry Men? It's on the top of my list, by the way, Cody, for whatever it's worth. What did the jurors do to the man spewing racist, bigoted statements? They didn't yell at him. They didn't send him away. They all turned their backs on him and stopped listening, and the man simply stopped. Let's turn our back on Trump. Maybe he'll sit down and keep quiet. Cody, I saw the same film, and that ain't the way I remember it. They talked him out of it. Okay. Jim says, Rosemary makes a good point. Nate Silver, Alan is not answering this question, but rather just repeating an opinion. Okay? My opinion. That's right. Okay. Sharon says, so much talk about Trump and the shocking, angry, hateful things he said. What about Bernie? He's the only person talking about how to fix things, how to solve the real problems. The mainstream media doesn't talk about Bernie, who is garnering huge crowds of support around our nation. I edited that paper for length. Elizabeth said, Trump is driven by megalomania and narcissism. Mm-hmm. What happens when he loses but refuses to step aside? Oh, come on, stop it.
He's going to wage war.
Yeah.
A revolution.
Yeah, okay. And Barry says, to me, the first and biggest threat facing humanity today, the most overarching thing is global warming. The second is Donald Trump. One and a half fascism grew and rose to power in Germany. You're watching, starting to germinate now in our country today. And Barry, okay, can I just say something about that? Remember, I have referred to Hitler myself. I don't want to be irresponsible about this. But remember what was going on in Germany at the time. I mean, things were bad, really, really bad. Nothing like record stock markets and the kinds of things we have. Yes, a lot of people aren't in on it, but that's the way it is. It isn't pre-Hitler Germany, that's for sure. Okay.
No, but it is an incredibly racist country who are still upset with 8 years of a black man in the White House, and Trump is just pushing that button over and over and over again.
And Douglas says, once again, while entertaining, you folks clearly show your bias. Trump is outrageous. However, he is evidently hitting some of the proper notes. Why do you always characterize a solid segment of this country as stupid? Because they do not have what you folks consider relevant academic credentials.
No, that's not why we call them stupid.
Well,
well, it's not the lack of a BA that makes them stupid.
Right.
Dear Mr. Trump, says Jeffrey, quite apart from the constitutional issues regarding keeping Muslims out of the USA, how would your profiling work? What does a Muslim look like? Does an Albanian Muslim look like a Syrian Muslim or a Muslim from Sudan or from Indonesia? This is the second largest religious group in the world. I thought it was the largest, no?
No, I don't think it's the largest, but it's 1.5. Okay. It's a quarter of the population of the world.
James is profound in his remark.
Oh, my God.
Alan is finally being truthful. Many of us see Trump as thinking of ways to solve the terrorist problem. His back door, which many ignore, is the duration of the concept of suspending entry of Muslims. Have you read Churchill on the issue of Muslim culture and Sharia shortfalls? Give serious thought to tight restrictions on travel. Not stupid nor necessarily wrongheaded. And that's JMS PhD. All right.
Shame. And, you should know better.
Okay, and Jim's...
But there's a big... Okay.
What?
I mean, there's a big difference between what he is talking about and what
Trump is
saying.
Yeah.
I agree. And Jim says, I'm with Alan to a point. Anything is possible. Election is eons away in political terms. But I have to agree with those who say it is unlikely. Right now, Trump enjoys poll numbers of about one-third of less than half the electorate.
Correct.
In a horse race poll last week, he was within a few points of a head-to-head against Hillary. I must note that the same has been true of the popular vote in past presidential elections back to Clinton Bush. I don't see how, if he comes close to an electoral college vote, if the election was this week.
Correct.
Charlene says, Alan is right. Let me clear my throat. Even though Trump seems like a long shot, don't forget many people told us about Obama. I fear Trump and his supporters. Okay, and Chris says, well said, Alan. I agree with you wholeheartedly on all points. You're on fire today. Thanks for keeping the liberal arts college banter in check. And people hear what they want to hear. I did not endorse Donald Trump. Okay, come on. P says, I turned my radio off on two occasions. Discussions about Trump and Billy Fusillo car commercials. But you're listening.
It's
got
huge.
You. Yeah, got you. Okay. Luca says, when anger and hatred elicit anger and hatred become justified, in quotes. Trump's behavior will do more to justify ISIS and do more to stimulate the mind of terrorism in those who feel frustrated. The Nazis garnered only 33% in Germany's last legal election before the war. And most people thought Hitler was a clown. No, a lot of people thought Hitler was a clown, but a lot of people supported him, right? Okay, Kevin, brilliant letter. I'm with you, Alan. And Libby's statement about blowing up everybody up is just as outrageous as Trump's. Come on, you know better than that. Outrageous statements on either side do not help. All right. Do you want to speak?
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
I don't.
I just read them.
I think that may have been a...
You just like the part about how you were right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's there
right.
is that.
That's, no, that's right. Right. I know. Yes. I understand. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
You're quite right.
More letters?
Our friend Tom says, just read on Google News that Time has chosen Angela Merkel as the 2015 Person of the Year. Please talk more about her, not more on Trump.
We have talked about Angela Merkel. We have called her brave and courageous and leading a model because of her stand welcoming in Syrian refugees.
Right. And yeah. Let me just say that yesterday on the Vox Pop, when I did a show, we were supposed to have a counterterrorism guy on who didn't show up. And so, you know, I do what I do. I went in for the microphone and said, we're going to talk about Trump today. From the minute I said that till the end of the show,
phones
there wasn't a single phone that wasn't lit up. Mm-hmm. Amazing. I just say that because I think, you know, there are people who argue you shouldn't talk about Trump. But then when the guy does well, somebody's going to say you should have talked about Trump.
Well, there's this myth. I think it's a myth that Trump is a creation of the media. He's a media darling. He actually is very anti-media. Mm-hmm. I think a lot in the media would like to get rid of him, to not have him around. But he is fascinating to people in general. Mm-hmm. And that's true. We can say, oh, no, I don't want to hear more about him. But you are listening. You are hitting the clicks. You are phoning in. And this is noted. It's not the media doing it. It's driven the other way around.
It's like a train wreck.
You can't turn away.
Right.
Rick says, Libby, please stop playing the race card against Obama's critics.
I'm not.
It certainly can be argued that this president, as well as predecessors, is one of the worst managers and leaders we have had. Yeah. The right rails against Obama just as the left railed against Bush. Makes you long for the good old days of the Clinton scandals. And that's from Rick. I don't know. I think that Obama has been a great president.
Yeah. Look at the stats. Unemployment is down. The market is up. The deficit is down. Nobody wants to talk about the accomplishments. Nobody wants to recognize the accomplishments because that would give him too much credit. And, oh, my God, he could actually get something done. He's been a very good president.
And no boots on the ground.
I mean, you know, is everything perfect? No, because he's constantly reacting to a world in crisis. But for the day-to-day, I can tell you this, okay? And here's my barometer. In 2008, 2009, 2010, library use shot through the roof because people couldn't afford to buy stuff. So they went to the library and borrowed. 2012, 2013, library use is starting to go down because people's pocketbooks are better. They can go out and pay for their Netflix. They can buy the movies. They can buy the books. So things are much better than they were in 2008. And I'm sorry, but people who hate this man do not want a black man in the White House. It's just that simple.
No, I would say some who hate this man.
No, I think
a
lot of people have a real visceral reaction.
Don't you think that is one of the main drivers in Donald Trump running
Absolutely.
For president
Absolutely.
Was the hatred for this
Obama.
Man.
Right.
Starting with the birther.
With the birther argument. With the birther argument, he's continuing to bring that up.
Yep.
3-1.
Well, there. No.
3-1 on
it's
this.
It's not 3-1. I didn't vote. I did not voice for this. You're both painting in terms of black and white. You love him or you hate him. I voted for him. I would vote for him again. Do not think he was a great president. He's made many mistakes, mostly based on his inexperience and unwillingness to play the system.
David says, demagogues inevitably fall by the weight of their own words and actions throughout our history. If this proves not to be the case with Trump, then we deserve what we will get. No, we don't.
The problem is that the demagogues fall eventually, but only after they get the power.
There are a couple of world wars that we can go back to.
Look at Joseph McCarthy.
Right. Who? As the guy, as the lady on the plane who came from his birthplace said to
right,
me.
Right, yeah.
Who?
Tom Brokaw had a great piece on the Nightly News last night talking about what it means when we marginalize people from and demonize people from the internment camps in World War II to McCarthy to the civil rights movement. It was really very well done, and it ended up with a guy who was a Muslim who is buried in Arlington. At age 20, because after 9/11, he went and he enlisted because he wanted to defend the country, and he got killed by an IED. And it was very, very poignant and very well done, and makes the point that America is not about singling out one religion, one group of people.
Okay.
As the scapegoat.
Stephen says, if we see more instances of terrorism inside the U.S., Trump's statement might suffuse into the hearts of Americans. Maybe he was taking a gamble in anticipation. Okay.
Okay.
Enough?
We got to go.
We got to take a break. Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk about other stuff. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to The Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It's very nice to have you all with us. And we always welcome your thoughts. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You know, we've been talking about a lot of heavy stuff. It's getting a lot of mail. I do want to get to an article because it's just one of it's one of my favorites that I've read this week, and because it's well written and it just paints a picture. But the Jeb Bush article in the Washington Post is. It's a sad sack
pathetic,
as it possibly can get, and I don't know. It seems fairly true. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's just spinning a narrative using a couple of, but the article in the Washington Post by Ed O'Keefe says that being Jeb Bush these days means coping with a series of petty humiliations. So here are just some of the things. If you go to JebBush.com, it's Donald Trump's website.
Yeah, I don't understand. They said something about not locking it down. I mean, somebody hacked their site.
No, no. From my understanding is that the renewal went up.
And they didn't renew it?
And Trump had. They had.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is one of the worst. I'm sorry for this little editorial. But this is one of the worst things about the internet. If you're not smart, somebody's going to grab your name and put a terrible curse after it.
Well, it isn't being smart, it's being aware. And he didn't have to be aware himself. He just had to hire the right people to do it.
Absolutely.
And he hasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to be
Alan
Shartok.
It's amazing that they didn't register the site for at least until after November
the election.
Of 2016.
Well, in
at
fairness,
least after for no, nothing. I mean, you have to do it. I'm sorry, Jeb.
No, and also, it wasn't his main site. Jeb 2016
it's
is
just
actually
a logical thing that you would think of.
It
yeah.
is a logical thing.
But
and
when
it,
you
and
type
it was,
in Jeb Bush.
It used to go, and now it doesn't. So that's one thing. The other thing, of course, is the terrible polling numbers. He's now on the low single digits. While Trump packs arenas, Bush rarely musters more than a couple hundred people at any given stop. During a foreign policy speech in Washington, people slipped out of the room to see rival Chris Christie instead. And then, which is one of my my favorite lines is, who has the leadership skills to actually, this is during the speech in Newton, Iowa last week. Jeb Bush was almost incredulous at his position in the race. Who has the leadership skills to actually make the tough decisions to fix the things that aren't working right now and are holding people back? Bush said in front of a crowd of about 100. And who has the ideas going forward that will allow us to rise up as a nation? And finally, he added, who can beat Hillary Clinton for crying out loud? The crowd applauded. A few minutes later, an older gentleman in the back nodded off.
Bush
and
is
everyone
actually,
else looked around and went and shrugged.
Bush is actually, I think, campaigning stronger than he was in the beginning when
the
he kind of took it as a given that he would win, and he didn't. The worst humiliation comes at the end of the story. His father and his brother are in Washington for an unveiling of a Cheney statue. They don't mention him at all.
Yeah. Not a bit.
The name Jeb never comes up. Pathetic.
It is pathetic.
But doesn't that, to bring the circle, to bring this around
full circle,
But doesn't that say a lot when we're talking about Trump that the reason that the Republican Party is in this current position is because there isn't a strong number two, number three, number four.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. It's also your time. As we have often said in politics, either you have to grab the golden ring when it's mm-hmm. possible.
When it's
and
there.
If you let it go by, 4 years later, that ring ain't going to be there.
Right. And the other part of this is that, you know, the Republicans were undermined in 2010 by the Tea Party. They weren't able to control those folks at all. They've been, you know, currying to their favor in order to maintain a majority in the House. And now you have this. And so there is absolutely no sense of leadership or discipline. I mean, that's what's so amazing. When I was a kid, the Republican Party was as disciplined mm-hmm. as they could be. They got their people out. They elected Richard Nixon twice. Okay, and now it's the Democrats who are disciplined, which is hardly ever
it's
happens.
Amazing.
Right, it is just really amazing.
This is
really
the Tea Party influence.
It is.
This is Tea Party influence, and that's why I am so worried about Trump, win or lose. He has already done damage that we are going to continue to see the effects of for many mm-hmm. years.
Well, maybe not. Maybe on the contrary. Maybe he has, in fact, mobilized the Democrats to behave. As we know, that the world's greatest circular firing squad.
Well, there are some people who think that this is all a plot to totally destroy the Republican Party and get Hillary elected.
There are some people who think every nutty thing that
I wish they
think.
Were that strategic.
I know, yeah. I know. Well, you know,
I
who
wish
knows?
That conspiracy could have happened.
Yeah, I know.
So now we are seeing both in the polls, which are now, because of Trump's rise even more, and there's been such a gap that it makes those who are in second and third place, that is a grouping. The one thing that seems to be fairly definitive in all of the polls is that Ben Carson has really dropped significantly, 20, 25 points in many cases. So that's significant. And then in second and third place, depending on what poll you look at, it's Marco Rubio
and Rubio.
There is something that is going to sound braggadocio about what I'm about to say.
That
would be so unusual.
But
really?
I do want to say...
Wow.
Thank you for that. I do want to... May I have another?
Sure.
But I do want to say that I have a PhD... I was joint professor, full professor at two institutions. I have a couple of honorary doctorates. With all of that said, I want to say I have no idea what Carson was all about from the
yes.
very beginning.
Yes.
None. I don't know why he went up. I don't know why he went down. Yeah, Libby?
I know what he was about.
Yeah, go ahead.
For those people on the right who hate Obama because of his race, but bristle at the idea that they actually might be racist, okay? And they say, no, I don't like him because of all these other things. Carson gave them the ability to say, see, I'm not a racist, I like a black man. That's what Carson was
Well, look,
about.
Anything is possible, and since I've already said I have no idea.
Take my theory.
Anything anybody else says is okay, but mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Oh, I do.
I think he had a
compelling personal narrative that appealed to a lot of people. I would like to have
liked
him.
True or false, it was a compelling
narrative. Yeah, then the narrative begins falling apart.
It was a sleep-inducing narrative. I mean,
there was that evangelical group who were supporting him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the idea of a poor minority kid who rises up and becomes one of the preeminent surgeons in the world, that's pretty great. It's at least as good as Rubio's narrative, which is that his immigrant parents, you know, had nothing, and now he's in the Senate.
Now he's the Senate.
Although he's a terrible senator.
So here's the question. If Trump is not a religious man, he is not a Bible thumper, and he does not talk about Jesus on the stump like a Mike Huckabee or some of these other guys do. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the radical Christian right going to do in this election?
Well, that's very interesting, because the one thing that Trump seems to be to me is a hater.
Yeah.
And that seems to be attracting a lot of the people who mm-hmm. would ordinarily be,
they do
one of the more religious type people. That's fascinating, isn't it?
Can we talk a little bit? Do we have time on
have
the police
statistics?
The FBI has decided to keep track of policemen killing civilians. And they're building. Why they haven't before now is one question. The other is that they're building their database on something the Washington Post has done since the Ferguson death. And since that time, they have tracked 900 civilian deaths at the hands of police officers. It's astounding that we have not had this information before that.
It is astounding. And I have to say, when I read the article, I had the exact same response you did, which is, we don't do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we found out we didn't after Ferguson when reporters began asking about it. And then the Washington Post, this is why a press is so important.
That's
all, all of you who don't trust and hate the press, this is why. Our officials were not keeping track of it. And the Washington Post did. And researchers went out and used public records. And they talked to people and they collected information on the race and income level and jobs and the circumstances of both the suspects and the police in 900 cases since Ferguson.
And the article going into the great difficulty that all law enforcement agencies, but especially the FBI, have in getting that information of how notoriously difficult it is.
Yeah, the police are not. There's no way to compel police departments to give up this information, so it's all voluntarily. And overwhelmingly, they do not voluntarily give up any information about their officers killing civilians. Civilians are supposed to be protecting.
What's interesting is when you look at the chart. For the post chart, Vermont and Rhode Island, there are no officer killings of people.
Goodbye.
Libby, Rosemary, Alan,
thank you
very much. You're fine. We'll be back after this.